Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Glad to see you guys this morning. There are certain moments in life where we experience the feeling of freedom, all right? And this doesn't happen super often, but once in a while, it's just we get this feeling of just like, we're free of whatever that thing was. Remember something we've all experienced. Remember the last day of school? You know what I'm saying? Back in like elementary school, everything's good. It's like you're watching the clock tick away until the bell's gonna ring. You got your desk is all cleaned out already. The teacher's already taking stuff off the walls. It's like bare and everything, and it looks different than it's always looked for the rest of the school year. And the bell finally rings, and what do? You grab your book bag full of all your stuff, and you walk outside that classroom door, walk down the hall, and then you walk outside of the school building doors, and you're just like, remember that feeling? Where it's just like, I'm free. Remember that? Okay, all right. Some of you guys do. That's good. And it's like, you got the whole summer in front of you. You can do whatever you want. It's usually nice out and warm out. And it's just like, man, I'm free of the work and the school and just my teacher or whatever. You know, I'm just like, I'm free of everything. Some of you guys, maybe something a little more recent for you, is remember when the mask mandates were like lifted from COVID? It's like, oh man, I can walk into a store like I, normally did all my life, and I don't have to, I don't have to wear this thing anymore. I know some of you guys were like total rebels, and you refused to wear the mask, and so that's cool, that's fine, whatever, that's you. But even for you, wasn't it nice to like walk into a store and not be judged by everybody who was wearing masks? Okay, it's nice, it feels free. One of the times that I remember this vividly in my life where I felt this feeling, kind of overwhelming feeling of freedom, was actually during COVID. I had been working for years on my doctorate, and I was just wrapping it up. I had taken all the classes, and I had written all the words I needed to write, and I had done all the, I read all the books and done all the work, and I had written my dissertation, and I had done the defense and everything like that that you got to do. And I remember walking. All I had to do is I had to turn in a hard copy to the school. Okay, so that's it, and I'm done. And so I drove to Indiana, the school where I graduated from, and I remember this was during COVID, and so there's like, nobody's there. The campus is like vacant. There's all the kids, everybody had gone home, and I go to the building. I walk through. They don't even have the lights on in the hallways. I walk through a dark hallway to the director of the program. And I hand him my dissertation. I, chit-chat a while for whatever. And I remember walking down that dark hallway towards my car. And he kind of yelled out. He was like, congratulations, doctor. And I was like, I kind of like that. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. See you never, And I walk out. And I just remember as I left that building to my car, I'm just like, man, I am free. All right, like I'm done. I'm done with all my work. I don't ever have to like read a single book again if I don't want to, except for the Bible. Okay, I'm a pastor. All right, do that. And I'm like, I'm done. I spent 29 years of my life working at schoolwork, and it's just freeing. It felt so good to be free. We are in a series called Be Free, and we've been walking through the book of Galatians together. And really, it's not even a book. It's really more like it's actually a letter. It is a letter written by a guy named Paul to a bunch of churches in the Roman province of Galatia. And his main point of this book, of this letter, is he's saying, man, it's not about religion. All right, it's not about religion. It's not about a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts that you have to do, that you got to follow in order to appease God so that someday he will let you in to heaven. He says it's not about religion. That's what religion is. He's saying it's about trusting in Jesus and what he did on the cross. It's not about what we do. It's about what he did. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And so the situation, as most of you in here know, because you've heard me say this week in and week out, is that there's a bunch of baby churches started by Paul in this Roman province called Galatia. And months later, Paul is out telling more people about Jesus in other places, so he's not there. And some guys show up and they start teaching. These Jewish guys start teaching. They're saying, hey man, it's so great that you believe in Jesus and all. Like he's our savior, like he's cool, that's awesome, he saved us. But you are not done, right? That is actually just like step number one. There's a whole Old Testament law that you got to follow. And they got their Bibles out. They're like, hey, man, look at it. Look at it. It's right here. All right, the words. Here's all the laws that you got to do. And if you don't follow these rules perfectly, if you don't follow the Old Testament law, then you're not really a true Christian. And so you better do it. And so these guys, they come and they add a bunch of religious stuff that you got to do to be saved from hell. Just like today, a lot of us, we came from churches in town that added a bunch of religious stuff that you got to do to be saved from hell. But at least these guys back then, at least they were getting their stuff from the Bible, right? Like at least it originated from God. It wasn't for them for that day, and they didn't need to do that for that day. But at least they originated it from the Bible. Instead of what churches around town do today, they come up with a bunch of man-made stuff that you got to do. I mean, at least this is better. Still wrong. And so the Galatian churches start to believe it. That's the issue. And so Paul hears about this, and he is mad. I mean, this angers Paul. Remember, at the beginning of the letter, he's just like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Are you really this dumb? All right, he calls them fools. And so the Galatian churches, they're falling into the trap of religion. And it's the same trap that many of us have fallen into at different times in our life. And so last week, Paul, he explains how we were slaves to this world. We were that. But when we put our full trust in Jesus to save us, he actually sets us free. But not only that, he adopts us as sons and daughters into his family, and even beyond that, we become heirs to him, meaning his home becomes our home, meaning his stuff becomes our stuff, and that's really, really great news, right? Yeah. Okay, we're like, I think so. Yeah, great news, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's good. It's the best news that you could ever hear. This is what we call the gospel. It means good news. And so now Paul, he picks right up where we left off in chapter 5. He says, think about it. For freedom, Jesus has set us free. Right? Notice this is past tense here. Do you see that? It meaning if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, this has already happened to you in your life. Now, not everybody in here has done that yet. Not everybody in here has surrendered their life to Jesus or put their full trust in Jesus and what he did. But you should. All right, here he is. He's saying, if you've done that, which a lot of us in this room have, he's saying, this has already happened to you. You are free. You're free. He has set you free. The question is, from what? I don't know. Remember, before we decided on Jesus, last week we talked about how we were slaves to this world. Now, usually, what are we slaves to, realistically? We're slaves to what we think will make us happy. All the things that the world shoves in our face and says, hey, you should do this. Hey, you should think this. Hey, you got to do all this stuff. A lot of us, we're still slaves. A lot of us, we're slaves to relationships. We're slaves to our money. We're slaves to approval of others. Or maybe it's the way we look. Or maybe it's our health and we got to get off fit. Or, you know, whatever that might be for you. A lot of us, we are slaves to religion. I mean, that's the big one that Paul's really hammering in this letter, all the things the world tells us that will satisfy us, all the things in our life that we put above God as number one priority in our life, all the things that the world says that will give us meaning and will give us purpose in our life. In fact, many times, you know who we are enslaved to the most? Ourselves. Meaning, we are slaves to doing what I want with who I want when I want. That's what we're slaves to doing. Whatever will make us happy in the moment instead of satisfying this thinking that we naturally have, it actually enslaves us. It's a problem. But now Paul's saying, you don't have to live that way anymore. Those things don't control you anymore. You don't have to like run to get satisfied by those things anymore because they don't satisfy you anyway. He's saying you are free. You're free. So like for me personally, in my life, that means I don't have to struggle. I don't have to wrestle with the purpose of my life. That's a cool thing. I don't have to wonder why I'm here for or what I'm here for. I don't have to ask why there's evil and suffering in this world and things like that because God explains it to me in this book and it makes sense. I don't have to worry about doing enough good and really hope that someday when I die that like the scale of good or bad is really tipped in the right direction. I don't have to do any of that. No, I have been set free from all of that. And so you read this, and actually let's read this backwards real quick. He says, Jesus has set us free. Okay, fact. That's just true. Why? For freedom. All right, well, isn't that kind of repetitive? What's he saying? Jesus set us free for our freedom so that we can be free, meaning he wants us to experience the freedom that he gave you. Well, obviously, of course, that makes sense. But this is what we do. And this is what the Galatian people were doing. They seemed to be a group of Christians who were free, like many of us are. But these people, they chose not to experience the freedom, and they kept running back to slavery, which many of us do. That's the issue. That's why Paul's so mad. Paul's like, okay, Jesus came. He paid the ultimate price to set you free. Now you have given your life to him. You put your trust in him. And so you are finally free, and you use your freedom to run back to slavery. That's what we do. And Paul's like, you are so dumb. Isn't that dumb? That's dumb, right? That's stupid. We all do that, at least to a certain extent. See, I know one of the best moments of freedom that I could think of in our lives, right? Most of us, we've experienced this, is remember when you're like 16, you get your driver's ed course done, you pass that. Some of you guys, you took that a couple times, that's fine. You passed all the tests, you did all the things. What's the government do? They give you a license. You know, and you're like, oh, I've been waiting for this. I've been living 16 years for this moment, you know? And they give you the license. Do you remember your first drive without your parents? Right? I do. I remember it was like, came home, got my license, and I'm like, well, see you, Mom and Dad. I'm leaving. You know, like, wait, hold up, you know? And some of you guys I know, you're like all nervous and worried and stuff. Not me. I was like, I want the freedom. I want to go. And so I jumped in it was old back then, still is today, my 1989 pickup. And I remember pulling out of the driveway the very first time, and I'm just like, where do I go? I'm just going on a drive. I'd never gone on a drive before. Usually you're going to someplace or something. And I remember thinking, I'm just like, man, I get to listen to whatever music I want. I get to go wherever I want. I don't have someone telling me what to do, where to turn. I don't have any of that. I am free, you know? See, our tendency is that when we are given freedom, our tendency is to abuse that freedom. And so for me, what I did is I drove out into the country, and I was like, I want to see how fast this old truck can go. You know, so I started doing that, and then I'm like, I want to see how, can this take this turn? How fast can I take this turn and do some burnouts and stuff like that, right? We all have the tendency to abuse freedom. And I think Paul knows this. And so Paul says, Jesus has set us free. Why? Because he wants us to experience freedom. Duh. And so in order to do that, he says, you need to stand firm, which means fight for your life then. And don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. See, he's saying, as someone who has been set free, he's saying, stop running back to those things that enslave you. Things like relationships and money and your career and your looks, or maybe just the family members that you put above God in your life, or your health, again, or religion. He's like, you don't understand. He says, listen to me. He says, this is me, Paul, and I'm telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Jesus will not benefit you at all. Now, some of you guys, you're here for the first time, and you're like, wow, this really went dark quick. What is, I'm talking about circumcision? This got weird, all right? Remember what's going on. All right, got some Jewish people. They come and they start teaching these baby churches saying, hey, you have to follow the Old Testament law to be saved. And one of the 613 rules in the Old Testament law is that all the males had to be circumcised, all the Jewish people. And I know you're like, wait, what? That's exactly what the Galatians were thinking. All those guys are like, wait, we got to do what? You kidding me? And again, a bunch of men went to watching online. But some of those that stayed, they were like, okay, so let me get this straight. So in order to go to heaven, one of the things I got to do is get circumcised. Is that what we got to do? And these Jewish guys are like, yep, that's exactly what we got to do. We got the knives. They're sharpened. They're all hot. We're ready to go, okay? So let's drop them. Let's go, okay? If you don't know what circumcision is, again, I said this once before. Pastor Mike is in the building. Find him afterwards. He will explain everything to you. Not me. Don't come up to me. And so you got all these men that are just like, guess I got to do this. You know, like, okay, I want to go to heaven. This isn't how I want to go, but you know, I guess I have to do this. And so Paul, he's pointing this out. He's like, his argument, he's like, if you think that will save you, or in our day, it's not circumcision, our day, it's if you think the sacraments will save you, or if you think baptism will save you, or if you think communion will save you, or confession will save you, or maybe you're not even like, you don't even go to church, you're just like, if you think all your good stuff that you do will save you, Paul's argument, he's like, man, you might as well just put all your trust in that. Like, if you can work your way to heaven yourself, if you can save yourself, if that's possible, then you don't need Jesus. Who cares about Jesus? Logically, that makes sense. See, these people, they hadn't gotten rid of Jesus. Like most churches in our town today. I mean, most churches today, they don't get rid of Jesus. Jesus, they got statues of Jesus, pictures of Jesus. They got Jesus everywhere. What these people did is they just added themselves into the equation, which again is like most churches do in our town today. Meaning, believe in Jesus and your good stuff. Believe in Jesus. Yeah, you gotta have him and your religious stuff. The problem is when we do that, we minimize what Jesus did on the cross. We're saying my sin is stronger than Jesus, and so Jesus needs my help. And what we end up doing in that moment is we elevate our role in saving us when in reality we don't have a role at all. Remember, the only thing, I say this all the time, the only thing we bring to our salvation is the sin that we need to save from. Your good stuff isn't good enough. I hate to break it to you. It's not. And so Paul's saying, if you add to Jesus, man, you lose Jesus. You lose the nature of what it is when you add anything to it. It's kind of like, you guys got root beer, a lot of you guys out there. You can't call root beer water because it's not water. Water is a part of it. We understand that. But it's not straight water anymore because we add all the other ingredients that makes root beer, whatever those things are. That's kind of what Paul's saying. Paul says, again, I'm telling you, every guy who gets himself circumcised, that's what they were struggling with. You got to remember that he is obligated to do the entire law, meaning you can't just follow one rule of the 613 rules and say, oh yeah, I'm following the law. Oh yeah, I'm following the rules. He says you have to fully follow all 613 rules, which, by the way, is impossible because we are all sinners. That's why we needed Jesus. That's the whole deal. That's the whole reason. He says, you who are trying to be justified by the law, by being a good person, by doing all the religious stuff, what you're actually doing is you are alienating you. You are separating yourself from Jesus. You have fallen from grace, which is a scary thing. He's saying if you step away from the grace that God made available to you, if you think that doing good is going to save you, he's like, man, I don't know if you're truly saved. Not that you were saved and now you're not saved and somehow you lost it. Paul's like, I just don't think you ever were truly really saved to begin with. You're putting your trust in the wrong thing. It says, for in Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, he's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't accomplish anything. What matters is faith working through love. Meaning it's not about doing a bunch of good stuff. It's not about following all the rules. It's not about what you do. It's about the faith and who you put your faith into. It's about trust and what you put your trust into. It's about what Jesus did, not by what we do. He says, you... Man, when I left you, last time I saw you guys just a few months ago, it's like you were running so well. It's like this idea of a track meet where, you know, sprinters, they all have their own lane. He was like, when I left, you were running so hard. You were in your lane. You had your eyes locked on Jesus. I mean, you were going. Everything was good. But then somebody drifted into your lane. He's saying, who prevented you from obeying the truth? You just let them come into your life and start pushing you around when it comes to your thinking and what you put your trust into, and that's an issue. I mean, we all got things like this, though, in our life. This isn't just them or whoever, someone outside these walls. I mean, think about it. What, realistically, what's preventing you from obeying Jesus more? What is it? Like, We all got stuff. It's just think, what are the top two things, let's say that you have maybe elevated in your life more than what they should be, that is preventing you from obeying Jesus? See, I think most of us in here, we either lean one way or the other, like one extreme or the other. Some of us, we kind of lean, we kind of drift into being more religious, and we do a bunch of good stuff, and we are so good, some of us, not me, all right, some of us, we are so good that we start putting our trust in our good stuff. That's what we do. And we start looking down on everybody else, and we're just like, man, I'm so good. Hey, God, did you see that? I did that for you, by the way. And so you kind of owe me, God. All right, good. We're cool. Okay, that's fine. You don't worry about it. That's kind of how we think. Where others of us, instead of drifting towards more religious, we drift more towards rebellious. You know, we think to ourselves, what we do is we're actually beginning to abuse our freedom. We think to ourselves, we're like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. God forgave me for everything. I can do what I want. I'm forgiven. Which one do you fall into? Which way do you naturally drift? God doesn't want your religion. And he doesn't want your rebellion either. Whatever it is, rebellion or religion, he says this thinking does not come from the one who calls you. It don't come from Jesus. It comes from the enemy. It comes from the pits of hell. And then Paul tries to illustrate this. He's like, think about it. This causes such an issue within the group, within the church. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. Now, I'm not a baker. I don't bake bread or anything, so I had to look this up. I'm like, what is leaven? You know, it's like yeast and stuff like that. If you want bread to rise, and this is the most manly word I could think of. I don't know what other word. And be fluffy, okay? You get what I'm saying? I don't know a better word, like air inside or I don't know. Big, whatever. Poofy, yeah, no, that's not it. If you want the bread to rise and be fluffy, you got to put leaven in it. And in our case, most of us, we do like baking soda, okay? So all you Church and Dwight people out there, I just want to say, I appreciate you. Good job making our baking soda. And this was a free advertisement for Arm & Hammer. Go out and buy some after the service. All right, a bunch of people in here have stock in that, so I think we'll do pretty well. He's saying it doesn't take much, right? I mean, you don't put it, I don't know, really, but I'm assuming. You know, it doesn't take much baking soda, and it affects the entire batch of dough. Like, it affects the whole loaf. Paul's like, a little religion? Man, that could screw up a whole church. A little rebellion? I mean, that can easily mess everything up. It kind of affects everything. It infects everything. And Paul, he is so, he's just like, don't you get it? Don't you understand? You get how big of a deal this is? And Paul, as he's sitting there in whatever room he's sitting in, and he's writing this letter, I mean, he is getting pretty worked up, because then he completely takes the gloves off and he gets awkward. He says, man, I wish those who were disturbing you, those people who came from the Jewish people, who came up and they started teaching all this stuff that's just simply not true. It's actually anti the gospel. Sounds good, but it's the opposite of what's true. He says, I wish they might also let themselves be mutilated. What he's literally saying here, kids, cover your ears. He's saying, I'd like to see those who believe that circumcision will save you. Or I'd like to see those in our day and age who believe that some sort of doing religious rituals and that stuff will save you. He's like, I'd like to see them let the knife drift up a little farther so they can't reproduce their lies anymore. He's saying, why don't you just go ahead and just cut the whole thing off? Happy Father's Day. All right, some of you guys are like, this is church? This is crazy church, okay. It's in the Bible, okay? That's what we do, the Bible. These are some strong words that he's using. This was offensive to them. You get it. The gospel's kind of offensive. You understand that? Throughout this series, I've heard a lot of comments. Most of them, by far, really, really, really good. You guys talk to me after the service, and it's like, yeah, okay, cool, all right. But we've also had a lot of comments specifically submitted online of people getting very, very much offended. And when people do that, and people might be watching this service online, I'm just saying, yeah, I get it. The whole letter is offensive to religion. That's what Paul is writing about. That's why we talk about it every single week. And we'll be done talking about that mostly when we get out of this. But this is the whole point. And so if people, in our case, in our area, mostly Catholic people who seem to be offended, if they are offended, I'm probably teaching it right. Just saying. I'm not here to make you feel good about your religion because that leads you to hell. That's the truth. I mean, imagine if Paul tweeted this today. I mean, Paul's intense here. First, you get a bunch of people like, oh, you got to take that down. Take down that post. You can't do that. You know, I can't believe it. Oh, spiritual abuse. You know, you can't. That hurt my feelings. So much hate. I can't do this. It's so offensive. Yeah, you know, I got a bunch of pansies out there today. It's okay. Check this out. Some of you guys need to hear this. It's okay to be offended. It's okay. The Bible is offensive to us all, including myself. You know why? Because it's constantly correcting us. It's constantly pushing us in the opposite direction that we naturally want to go. And so, yeah, when we, particularly in our culture, men who seem to struggle with this the most, but we, men and women, we need to stand up in a world like ours, and we need to teach the gospel and teach the truth. That's what we're trying to do here. Ain't trying to sugarcoat it for you. Paul doesn't. The reality is playing religion gets you to hell. Trusting in your religious good stuff, the reality is it gets you to hell. And that's a problem. And so what he's saying here is he's saying you weren't called to be that way. You were called to be free. If you have given your life over to Jesus, which again, a lot of you guys have, he says, you were called. You are free. He did all the work. He's the one who called you. Some of you guys, you haven't done that yet, and I'm just saying, maybe you feel it right now. He is calling you. You haven't made that decision. You're not there yet. He is calling. He wants to set you free. He paid an unbelievable amount for you. He wants you to be free. He says, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. What he does here is he describes kind of two things that are always pulling at us in opposite directions. He describes one as what he calls the flesh. Sounds super churchy to me. No, we don't usually use that word, but the body or whatever, name it whatever you want. It's a thing. It's there. It's real. He says the flesh is like the worldly desires. It's in all of us. This is what's like constantly crying out like, me, mine. We're selfish. We're all about ourselves. He says the flesh is like part of it. All right, that's like in us. Can't get it out on this side of death. But then we've also talked about over the last few weeks that we also have the Spirit, right? God, he lives in us. When we give our lives to Jesus, one of the things that happens in that very moment, which is so awesome, is that God actually moves into our life and he walks through life with us. And so he lives in us and he helps us become more like Jesus. So we got these two things within us. We got the Spirit, we got the flesh. They're kind of going head to head at each other. And so Paul here, he's saying, yeah, you're free. Yes. But don't use that freedom to do whatever you want. Don't use that freedom to run back to slavery. That's dumb. That's stupid. He says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. He's like, before that, let's go back one. Real quick, just that last line. He says, you need to serve one another through love. That's what you're called to do. Now forward. He says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. He's like, let me just boil this all down. Whole Old Testament law, 613 commandments. Let's boil it all down to one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's like, back then, it's like God's like, okay, this is all I want people to do. Boil it all down to be cool with each other. That's it. Live together in a nice, caring, loving way. But because we're messed up, we kind of need it spelled out. And so he had to spell it out in 613 different ways. And it's stuff like some of the stuff we know from the Ten Commandments. It's like, don't steal stuff from each other. You know, can you imagine God? It's like, don't lie to each other. That's what that means. Don't cheat on your spouse. That's not good. You know, it's just all these things. We need it so spelled out. And Paul's just like, it's so easy. Just love each other. And because of Jesus, we are now free from the world and what's in us. We're free from religion so that we can actually love each other. And I know some of you guys, you're sitting there and you're just like, but I don't like some of these people. Fair enough. And you're like, so what you're saying is, Zach, is that I'm free to be nice to the guy at work who I don't even like? Thanks. That's great. Doesn't sound so freeing to me. That's the flesh talking. It's the flesh talking. This is not tolerance either. Can I just say that? This is not, I will tolerate you. God wants something so much more for us. He's like, nah, I want you to show love to each other. Now, what did that look like? Actually, it says in that verse before, by serving. It's not something we generally like to do unless we're serving ourselves. Like, think about it real quick. Think of the person who has hurt you the most in life. Most, your entire life. Think of that person. What he's telling us to do is he's saying, as a Christian, as a Jesus follower, what we do, and it's not easy, and it's hard, I get that. He's saying we love that person, even though they wronged us in maybe a major way. Even more than that, he's saying, what's that look like specifically? It's like, oh yeah, forgive him. I still got the grudge or whatever. And he's like, no. You serve them. It's completely against our natural, it's completely against our flesh, right? Some of you guys, you could think about this right now and you're like, you got something like, oh, I just can't do it. That's the flesh. That's it. It's in us. It's in you. It's in me. That's for sure. Like, that's part of it. The question that we ask is, how do we do that? That seems like a pretty lofty expectation from God. How the heck do we do that? And he says, this is how you do it. You walk by the Spirit. That's how you do it. Now, what's walking? We all know what walking is. Wake up, people. Okay, there we go. Walking is step by step, moving forward. What happens? It's crazy. You end up in a different place. That's what happens. Okay? So I got an illustration for this. It's going to be crazy. Just work with me for a second. Do you see that? That's called walking. Okay, you learned something here today. I was in that place. Now I'm in this place. I was there. Now I'm here. Again, we call this walking. That's what Paul is saying. Now, walking isn't super exciting. I know some of you guys might be walkers. You're like, well, I walk all over. That's cool. That's cool. You're a speed walker. Got the weights and pants and all, I don't know, band, all that stuff. That's cool, all right? But walking in general, is the reality is, and I hate to break it to you, it's just not super exciting. It's not cool, all right? It's not. Now, if I were to backflip over there, you'd be like, wow, now that is cool. That's the Spirit right there. That's what the Spirit does. I get it. That's not what Paul's saying, though. Paul's not saying you like speed towards this one thing. He's saying keep taking steps forward. And someday you'll be able to look back maybe a year from now, or maybe you can look back from a year before and you can say, wow, I'm not where I was last year spiritually. I don't struggle with that anymore. I've been taking these steps. I don't think that way anymore. Usually it just doesn't happen all at once. Although God can do that, usually we have to take steps. It takes work and effort on our part. Also, can I just point out, notice the order here. He says, walk by the Spirit, and when you do that, you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. Meaning, walk by the Spirit, and you will sin less. That's what he's saying. The order is so important. He's saying it's not if you stop sinning so much, which is what religion teaches, then you can love Jesus more and you can have a closer relationship with Jesus. No, it's the opposite. It's first, have that relationship. First, walk with the Spirit. Then you will start sinning less. But it's hard. And we got this thing called the flesh inside that's just constantly pulling us away. He says, man, for the flesh desires what is against the Spirit. You got this one thing, it's like pulling you one way. The flesh is like, nah, don't listen to the Spirit. It's pulling you one way. But then the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. It's pulling you, yanking you another way. He says, these things, they're opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. He's saying, these things, it's like a war's going on in here. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you should have felt this. It's constant. It never stops. I forget where I heard this, but I remember hearing it described as, it's like a fight between two dogs in here. I mean, they're just going at it. The question is, which one's going to win? And the answer to that is the one that I feed. By the way, if you feed your flesh all week long and you think an hour of church on Sunday morning is going to do anything, you're wrong. You don't have to feed, you have to feed one and you have to starve the other. That's what you got to do. You have to battle. It's a fight. He says, now the works of the flesh, they're obvious. This is what it looks like. He's about to list all this stuff out. He's like, think about it. This is the stuff that we're constantly battling against. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, things that we do wrong, promiscuity. He said, idolatry and sorcery and, you know, hate people that we hate and strife and jealousy and outbursts of anger. Selfish ambitions, we're all about ourselves. Dissensions, factions is when we're kind of breaking people up. And envy and drunkenness and carousing, that's like deep. That's like orgies and stuff, okay? That's like major stuff. He's like, and anything similar to that? He's saying, that's what we once were slaves to. Every single one of us. You might be the best person in here. Somebody is, right? But if you're the best person in here, you were slaves to that. But now we experience the opposite because we got the Spirit inside of us and God is trying to change us and it produces something completely different. What is produced by the Spirit is things like love and joy and peace and patience. That's a hard one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says the law is not against such things. No, the law is for all this stuff. Now those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, meaning the flesh is within us, and when we gave our life to Jesus and when Jesus died, the flesh was like mortally wounded. Like it took a bullet. And so we have the opportunity to beat this thing. We have the opportunity to rise above. We have the opportunity to be finally free of this thing that Paul calls the flesh, this sin nature that's within each and every one of us, being slaves to the world. And when that happens, the things that you used to love, you now hate. And the things you used to hate, you now love. Many of you know what I'm talking about because you've experienced this in your own life. You look back on your life, and you're like, man, I'm so different now. So once a slave to this world, many of those things just don't have a hold on you anymore. I remember, most of you guys know this, but before we launched Tiffin, I was a youth pastor. And I'll be honest with you, some kids drove me crazy. You know, some kids were just super difficult to love. And some of them, you know, you have them at home, so you know what I'm talking about. And one thing I used to do as a youth pastor is we'd go on multiple summer trips each year. And so that's where you'd get a bunch of kids. We're jumping in 15-passenger vans or even a bus sometimes, and we go on to, like, serve people on a mission trip, or we go to some place and do, like, a retreat or stuff like that. And so we did all these things. We still do that today. Really good, by the way. If you have a student and they're not signed up for any of these trips, you got to get them signed up. So good for them. I remember one trip. We were getting ready to leave the place that we were leaving, and I was getting all the kids in. You know, I'm making sure we don't leave anybody. Good track record on that. Never lost one, which is good. At a gas station, nothing. It's good. And I was the last one in, and I remember somebody took, I wasn't driving this leg of the trip, and I remember somebody took the passenger seat, which is where I would naturally go, you know? And I'm like, dang it. Instead of moving them around and all this stuff, because everybody was all in, I was like, I'll just sit in the back with the kids, which usually is not that bad. But when I got into this van, I remember the only seat that was open was the farthest bench in the back next to the weird kid. It's true. All trips got him. It's whatever. You can say what you want. It's weird. Some of you guys were the weird kid, so don't be offended. It's okay to be offended. And I didn't know this kid that well, and it's summer, and it was hot, and I'm wedged in between two kids, and there's no airflow going on, and it stinks. Literally. There's BO going on and all that stuff. And I remember sitting there, and I'm like, okay, this is terrible. I'm like, I am here until the next stop, which when I'm traveling, it's like 3 hours, you know, 3 or 4 hours, and we don't stop for nothing. We're trying to get to where we're going, and it's just true. And I'm like, I'm stuck in here. And I remember, and this is why I remember this vividly, I am just sitting there, and I'm just mad. I'm the youth pastor. I'm the pastor. And I'm just mad. I'm like, I'm sitting next to this kid. I can't breathe. It smells so bad in here. And I hate this and I don't want to be here. And I'm thinking of all this stuff. And I remember in that moment, just starting to talk to God. I'm praying a little bit. And of course, when I start praying, I'm not out loud or anything weird. I'm just talking to him in my mind. And I'm like, and at first I start off, I'm just kind of complaining. You know, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Come on, God. Like, you know, all this stuff, all about a seat. And then I started asking him, like, oh, can you change my attitude about this? You know, like, zap me. Do whatever you got to do. And I remember in that moment, he didn't zap me at all. But I remember in that moment, I just realized, I'm like, dude, I am not loving this kid like I should. And I'm not serving this kid. And I'm his pastor. Like, it's literally my job. I literally get paid to do that. And I'm not doing it. And in that moment, what hit me even harder was I care more about my personal comfort for a few hours than this kid's eternity. And it messed me up. I'm sitting there and I realized, and I'm just like, I'm a terrible person. That's, by the way, what the Spirit does. I was totally controlled by the flesh. It was all about me, 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 me. That's what our flesh does. And then the Spirit just kind of butts its way in there, and it convicts us, and it points out our sin, which is exactly what was happening in that moment. And so I started talking to the kid. He's a good kid. I don't know where he's at today. I even sat next to him for the next few more legs of the trip because nobody else wanted to. And I'll be honest with you. I know this sounds the opposite, but honestly, it was free. It was. Think about it. You stop worrying about most of the things that you worry about. It's all about you. It's all about me. And once I just kind of took that off, I'm like, I don't care about me anymore. It was like, man, I was free. I care more about this kid than me. It's like once I realized that, I was like, man, I just felt free. Now, doing that and sitting with him when nobody else wanted to sit with him after that, did that help my case to get into heaven because I did a good thing? No. I put 100% of my trust in Jesus, so I know I'm in. I don't think God was impressed by me. But turning in that moment and choosing to walk with the Spirit and not the flesh, which had me focused on me, man, it was free. It frees you. And so, church, if you've made that decision in your life to put your full trust in him, you're free. You are free. You do not have to be a slave to anything in this world anymore. You're done with that. He mortally wounded the flesh in you, your sin nature that's a part of you. Yeah, it's still there, but he took it down. Now you are free. And what Paul is begging you, and what Paul is trying to get you to understand how dumb this is, he's saying, don't run back to slavery. It's dumb. It makes no sense. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these words. It's kind of complicated, Lord, but it makes total sense. And God, we ask that you would help us to live free. You set us free. Help us to experience it. That's what you want for us. That's the whole reason why you set us free. So we can experience the freedom that only you provide. God, we ask that you would help us do that. It does not come naturally for us. We struggle and struggle. But Lord, you set us free, and we thank you so much for that. God, we need your help, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.